Welcome to Clifton Health On Air. I'm your host, Danielle.
And I'm your co-host, Lauren.
And we are a local health department podcast here in Clifton, New Jersey, that also services the township of Little Falls.
We are located 12 miles west of New York City.
And we are so excited that you tuned in today. We are launching a new series called, drumroll please, Health Waves, Voices in Healthcare. This series will take place with some few special guests that all focus on healthcare. And we sit down with really important individuals focusing on such as healthcare access, first aid basics, and much, much more. So please tune in to our series.
Here is part one. Access to healthcare.
Hello and welcome to Clifton Health On Air. I'll be your host for today. I'm Crystal, and today we have Flore Cruz-Serpa, Regional Director for Community Outreach and Engagement for the Northern Areas of Hackensack Meridian Health. Welcome, Flore.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Of course, it's an honor to have you. So could you tell us a little bit about your role at Hackensack Meridian Health and your responsibilities there?
Sure. So I'm fortunate enough to be able to lead a team of registered dietitians, nurses, health educators to just bring health into our communities. So we look at ourselves as the team that works outside of the hospital. We are maybe sometimes the first people they meet in regards to our hospitals, and so our goal is to ensure that healthcare is kind of top of mind for most of our community members, and we serve all community members with a very strong focus on our underserved and underrepresented communities. And so I'm proud to say that we have a team at all locations. We support our Mountainside Hospital and Pascack Valley Hospitals, but we have teams at Hackensack University Medical Center and Palisades as well. So it keeps us busy.
Yeah.
For a small team.
For sure. And so today the topic of conversation is access to care. So could you just give us a brief definition of what that means?
Yeah. So access to care is a focus of ours to ensure that all our community members have access to honorable, competent healthcare facilities. And so despite your coverage, if you don't have insurance or you do have insurance, our goal is to ensure that we connect you to that particular healthcare professional, if it's not a physician, but other healthcare professionals, to make sure that indeed you're living a healthy life. And that's how we come together and we collaborate with our local health departments, right? It takes a village. It's not just one team. It's all of us collaborating and working together. And so we've had an amazing experience with this particular health department just because of that model that you have here. It's exactly what we like to partner with.
Okay. Yeah, it's an honor. Honestly, our partnership, it's been going on for a few years now, and it's served the community so much in so many different ways. So we're definitely so grateful for that partnership.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to what you mentioned with access to care, what's kind of the barrier to this access to care? What's impeding people from being able to access all of those medical professionals that you just mentioned?
Absolutely. It works in collaboration to ensure that indeed our underserved communities understand that there's going to be barriers. And we acknowledge that. We know that, unfortunately, for some of our community members, there's going to be different priorities, right? So we address the social determinants of health, ensuring that indeed someone who has to work cannot go to the doctor's office at 9 a.m. When we have individuals who work nights, what can we provide them during the day? So we have to look at all of those things. It's going to pay my rent more important than me going to a doctor's office? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be where, you know, this prescription is so expensive, maybe I'll just take half of my medication because I need to make sure that it just stays longer or maintain longer because I can't afford to get another refill. So we look at that first before we decide what programming to provide or what education to give to our communities.
So what are some examples of the ways that you meet people where they are? You were saying, so if they're uninsured or underinsured, or if they just have different priorities financially, how do you, you know, go about addressing those different priorities and needs?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we decide first when we do meet a community partner is that we meet with them first. We don't just walk in and say, okay, this is what we have and this is what we're going to offer you. No, we sit down just like we do with you as a health department. What are the needs in your community? What are you seeing are their greatest priorities to them? And we work around that. We meet them in their space. You know, we laugh all the time. We don't work banker hours. We work nights and weekends because that is where our community is. And so we go to churches, senior centers. We worked with you with our own house population, understanding that they're not going to come to us, especially in a hospital setting. Hospital settings are very scary, and that's not our focus. We want to be where the community is. So it could be in aisle 13 at the supermarket. It could be at the park. And so we're fortunate enough that people understand the kind of work that we do, and our leadership has supported us throughout all this to ensure that we have those tools that we need to be able to provide that, those services.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you mentioned just now was meeting them where they are, right? So transportation is definitely one of those issues for a lot of people where they can't afford to access, whether it be an Uber or they don't have a vehicle or they just don't understand the bus schedules to get from one place to another, especially newer locations that they might not be familiar with. So that's super important to really meet people, like you said, where they are at. So what kind of initiatives do you have around that? You said partnering with community members, but what has that looked like in the past?
Yeah, so you have had my colleague, Elon Shoulders, here from our cancer center. We don't reinvent the wheel. We work together. So if she's having an event, we tag along with her. If we're having an event, she tags along with us. The reason why is because we want to be able to grab that participant once, have that centralized care, point of care where people just come to one location, and while they're having their cancer-related screenings, we're going to provide the other screenings. And so it's one trip. We are fortunate in Clifton, and being a Cliftonite all my life, we have been fortunate that we have access from Route 3, Route 46, and so we take that into consideration. And even as a network, if we're going to open a doctor's office or primary care services, we're going to do it near a space and take into consideration that is there a bus stop nearby, right? Is it near a school? Because we like to focus on having primary care near schools where parents, believe it or not, they're running around, they grab the kid and go to their doctor's appointment and be home for dinner time and school work. And so all that strategic work gets done in the background to ensure that we are where we need to be.
Definitely. And I know that Clifton has changed a bit in terms of offering more centers for the public and more healthcare centers and just all over the area of Clifton with what you said. I know there's an urgent care being built. So can you tell us a bit more about the new centers that might be available for people that maybe they're still unaware of and they can use
Forward? It's interesting because Clifton per se, it's very unique, and it's Hackensack Meridian Health has so many services within Clifton. Just knowing that across the street on Route 3, we have a medical school, where I'm sure you've had them before. These are medical students, and we are nurturing and providing them education, but with that social determinants of health as a background. Health equity is being one of their majority focus for them. And so allowing that group of students being out in the community, being part of it. And so I'm not quite sure if you've heard, they have a program called Human Dimensions. And the Human Dimensions program is allowing them to interact and be part of a family's life for over 3 years, to advocate for this family, to go to doctor's appointments with this family, because the medical school wants to give them that opportunity to see what a patient goes through. It's not just, here's your prescription, good luck. It's what happens after a doctor's appointment, right? Has anyone sit down and explain what these medications are for? Are we following up? And it's not just that one patient, it's the entire family that's involved in this. Is there food insecurity in the family? Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why we need to look at all those things before we just become a doctor?
For sure. And we actually have worked with them before. I think he's no longer in Hackensack Meridian Health, but Freddie was a partner of ours, and he was able to introduce human dimensions to the satellite office and our health department in general. So that was definitely an amazing initiative. I also wanted to ask, so with the Human Dimensions Project and having someone follow along and really able to break down the information, where is that need coming from? Like, how is it that people just aren't getting the information, they aren't digesting it? What is the barrier there that's being met?
I believe with the Human Dimensions Program, I mean, they were fortunate enough that they were able to identify it, and that many of them were self-referred. We had families who said, I really do need that help. Mm-hmm. I was just diagnosed with diabetes. I just don't understand mm-hmm. what that means. And so they self-refer. But many times that particular group depends on you, a health department, to promote those referrals. I make those referrals, or our team makes those referrals to them. And just because of the need of people understanding, has anyone sat down with a participant and literally has mentioned or explained what a blood pressure means? Have you sat down with mm-hmm. your patient and explained what that top number means versus the lower number?
Right.
Once you understand it, people are more likely to be proactive about their health. Mm-hmm. But if you're just told you have hypertension, here's prescriptions, medication, and for some cultures, medications is not all. You know, we look at mind and body, and for some cultures, they prefer to meditate. They prefer to take, integrative medicine as part of their group. And so we look at that whole picture when we talk to them. For Clifton, we were talked about immediate centers. Not everybody wants to go to an emergency room. Mm-hmm. And so Clifton is very fortunate to be in an area where we have local hospitals. Not many towns have three hospitals in the same area. I mean, Clifton has access to Mountainside Medical Center, has access to St. Joseph's Hospital, to Hackensack University Medical Center, and that doesn't always happen in rural areas. And so knowing that we have them, but not every situation needs an ER visit. And so how can we use our local immediate centers, our urgent cares? Those are for those situations where you don't want, unfortunately, to sit in the emergency room for hours, because unfortunately that's what happens. Most people go to the emergency room depending on what the acuity is, and they can be waiting for a while. And so looking at even having assessed a condition, an immediate center and an urgent care can take care of you without having to go to the emergency room, which also then the cost is way less, because the cost in an urgent care center is going to be completely
also
different
than
the emergency
room. Sure.
Correct.
Yeah, what is some information that people can use to determine whether they should go to a medical center, an urgent care, or some other primary physician perhaps? When would they go to these different locations?
I would never want to deter anybody from going to the emergency room. I mean, there's going to be situations that you do not want to go to the emergency room, right? I would say if you have a primary care physician already, I think you should consult with your primary care physician and look for that guidance. You know, based on your symptoms, should I be going to the emergency room, or is this something that can be handled by a local urgent care or a immediate center? And so we'll always try to stay away from kind of give you specific guidance. But if it's chest pains, you know, your face drools, that's a stroke sign. If you have chest pains, that could be a possible heart attack. You know, we talk to our older population, and our older population's always hesitant to call an ambulance, right? Because mm-hmm. little Mary doesn't want little Joe across the street to know what's happening. And so our older population very rarely calls the an ambulance. But we enforce this fact that you need to call an ambulance. You don't want to drive yourself to emergency rooms. And so we tailor our education based on the group that we are going to see. When we work with our underserved communities, some are very hesitant to receive access from hospitals, not only because of financial reasons, but for other reasons as well. And so we always reassure them that a hospital is a safe place to go. There is protected information that we are not allowed to share with anyone else. And so, again, we tailor our information, our education based on the communities that we're serving. We're very fortunate to also have a new facility opening on Route 3 across the from the medical school that is going to be primary care. So this is now we're bringing a diverse group of physicians into that space who is going to be neurology, dermatology, primary care. And so being able to speak the language of our communities is huge, and it's a huge focus for us at Hackensack Meridian Health. So we're very excited that there is so much more access of physicians in this area, because there is a shortage of physicians, right? There's also a shortage on nursing. And so making that a focus for us, knowing that we want our physicians to look like our communities, it's something that we're very proud of.
And I'm sure having physicians or healthcare workers that look like the community also makes them feel more comfortable approaching those centers and comfortable asking questions when they're unsure and just feeling safe and heard. So with what you mentioned with the rise of urgent care facilities and these specialty clinics, is there any priority or how important is it to have a primary care physician?
Great, great question. Our goal is always to educate our communities in regards to prevention is key, right? We don't wait until we get sick, because then those options are very limited. We have emergency rooms, we have urgent cares. But if we focus on our health from day one, prevention, education, going for those regular scheduled checkups, make a huge difference. A physician or your primary care physician or that healthcare professional, if you were going to a clinic, is going to be able to identify those issues ahead of time, and we can manage them. But if we wait to, for example, take care of our blood pressure, there's going to be less options on how we can manage our blood pressure. I believe and I know that some cultures are less likely to take medications because of what they believe. But if we manage it in an integrative way, or if the way we change our lifestyles, then maybe you don't have to take medication. But the time is key. Waiting until that issue becomes a problem, it's when we no longer have those options. So that's what our team does. We ensure that we educate our communities and talk about prevention. You have to empower yourselves to take care of your health. So is it walking once or twice a week? That's huge. You know, is it portion control? Maybe I won't have that much food, or maybe I am going to have a less lean meats and vegetables and incorporate vegetables into our lifestyle. That is all going to help you when it comes to prevention.
That's great. Those are some great tips. And I guess along with tips, what could you sort of summarize or differentiate our role as public health professionals versus the public, and where we come in versus what they can do themselves? So you already mentioned some diet tips, some healthy lifestyle changes that they can make, but where's the line? What can they do? What are some maybe resources they can utilize versus what are some things that we can provide?
Yeah, definitely. So we're a team. I look at when we go on to the community and provide programs, we look at ourselves as a team, right? But we're not with you 24/7. So we can provide you with the tools that you need and advice and be consistent. So if we have events, I always try to have the same team work those events, because then now you're going to engage in a better way with that same person outside of, you know, always feeling like you're telling your story over and over and over again to different people. So by ensuring that when we do have a community partner, we're going to provide that same team to go out, so you no longer have to tell your story 500 times. And you're going to be able to utilize that time that we have together for the next step. So there will be times when you leave our events and we have homework for you, right? Homework as to go open your refrigerator and kind of, based on the information that we gave you about your nutrition and, you know, salt intake, sugar intake, go look and see what you have in your pantries. And so that's the kind of homework we provide, because we work together with you. We can't do it for you. You have to be empowered to do it yourself, but we provide you those tools. So is it bringing a physician to come and do a program for you and ask those questions that unfortunately sometimes we don't have the time to do with our primary care physicians? Bring in some wellness screenings, provide you a cholesterol screening or a blood sugar screening, because now you have a baseline number. And now we talked about how we can improve this number and what is manageable for you versus you having to go to a physician. And so that's the kind of the homework we give you, for you to go home and empower and make changes that the next time we see you, you can say, oh my God, Floree, I feel much better. You were right. There was things that maybe I was eating at home that was not the greatest choice for me. We meet with kids all the time and we talk about rethink your drink, right? Many kids, depending on their financial situation, there may be certain things that are more accessible to them. So maybe not fresh fruits and vegetables because they're very expensive. And so we took that all into consideration, and we are now partnering with local supermarkets, especially in this area. We have a partnership with ShopRite and Passaic, where when you go to the supermarket and as a SNAP recipient, somebody who's receiving food assistance, you purchase $20 of fruits and vegetables in the supermarket. You now have $20 for the next time you visit, on courtesy of us. And so it's providing those tools, letting them know what's out there. That's also a big issue. Many of our community members do not know what resources we have, because we tend to, unfortunately, in healthcare and social work and all social service, we sometimes get caught up in these silos, and we may not know what each of us are doing. And so we're trying to work really hard on ensuring that there is that collaboration, that maybe there's a space where all this information is sitting, one centralized space where people can just look for them. So we do have access to something that's called Unite Us. And I can provide a link later on where a community member can just go and search for food insecurity or pantries in the area, and it provides them all of those services. And then you can click on a language and change it to the language that they speak.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so it's all those resources that I think we can do better at ensuring that our community is aware. So we work really hard to make sure. But, you know, do we see everyone? Unfortunately not. But that's when we can collaborate and kind of share that information for our community.
Definitely. Sake. And so could you just describe a little bit more about the website? So is it a search engine, or what does that look like?
Correct. It's called Unite Us.
Unite.
It used to be known as NowPal. So for those who are in this kind of field, you might be aware of NowPal, but it's been switched over to Unite Us. It's front-facing for our community. So it could be used by anyone at any language. It's resources within your community that are available there for you. And it actually, you can go in and Floree can actually put her address. Based on my address, it's going to show me the different categories, and I'm going to choose a category, food assistance. And it's going to guide me as to what food pantries are in my area. And so once I identify that, it tells you their hours. What do they require? Do you need to bring some sort of verification that you live in that particular town? Is it open for food choice? So choice is when you can go to a food pantry and choose what you need versus receive a bag of food that you may not use. Mm-hmm. And so we're fortunate enough that I think in social services, we realize that we're not cookie cutters. We're not all the same. We have different cultures. And so when you go to a food pantry and you're given a bag, do I even know what to do with the items that are in the bag? We appreciate the help, but we also understand that there's different cultures and different needs. And so all those community partners are in that website. And you can just print an address, the directions in different languages, and then you can actually tell them that you're interested in becoming a member or participating, and they will email you back. So the key is that all our community partners are there, add themselves onto this website. Because again, I mean, this platform is maintained, and so there are teams that make sure that indeed the health department is still providing the same services. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we as community organizations need to take that extra step, ensure that let me just make sure that they understand that we now have additional initiatives, or we no longer can provide this particular initiative. We use it all the time. We walk around with our QR code. We actually created Slim Jims that it's like a little rack card where we have those QR codes, not only where all our events are, but also the QR code to this particular platform. So you may not need it today, but you spoke to Florey, and Florey, I remember, told me about it. So now you have this little rack card that you can go to now. Hmm. So it's knowing that many times we only get to have 5 minutes with a participant. So how much information can I give them in 5 minutes, right? Take this rack card with you. You may not need it now, but you may need it for the future, or you may need it for somebody you know.
Definitely. And I'll be sure to have Lauren link the Unite Us website in the bio. That being said, thank you so much for all the information and for starting and giving us information about access to care here in Clifton and as it relates to Hackensack Meridian Health. So thank you so much for being here today, Florey.
Lauren, take us out.
Don't forget to tune into our podcast every other week for a new episode. You may visit our website at www.cliftonnj.org. Follow us on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Clifton Health. If you have any questions, you can email us at health@cliftonnj.org. And before we leave today, let us ask ourselves, did you make a difference in someone's life today?